Psalm 34. Call your attention to verse 8. This is the word of God in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So far we read the holy and inspired word of God. As I said, I call your attention to verse 8, where God says to us this morning, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've all had this experience before. You sit down at the table for a meal, and setting before you on the table is your favorite meal. You look at it with delight, and you eagerly dive into what is your favorite meal, and after putting a few bites into your mouth and swallowing it, you look around you to those with whom you are eating, and you say, that tastes so good. And then you want to just keep on eating because of how good it tastes, to the point where you need to exercise self-control and restraint lest you overindulge. We've all had an experience like that throughout our lives. David, in Psalm 34, says that we must do something similar to that, not physically, but much more importantly, spiritually. David says in the text that it is the Lord who is good. He is the essence of what it means to be good. And he says, therefore, to taste and to see that he is good. We are to consume the Word of God, as we will see, so that in consuming the Word of God, we are seeing and tasting the goodness of Jehovah. And it almost puts us to shame when I use the figure of eating our favorite meals. Because when we eat our favorite meal, we can hardly stop eating. May God so work in us this morning by His Spirit so that in reflecting and hearing of God's goodness, we are led to see it and to taste it, and to do that in such a way that we want to keep on eating, because of how good Jehovah is to us. And people of God, Jehovah is good. And with that, we see a tremendous blessing for us as the children of God, that in tasting and seeing Jehovah's goodness, and by doing that, in putting our trust in Him, David says in the text, inspired by the Spirit, that such a man is blessed. I call your attention to Psalm 34, verse 8, under the theme, Taste and See the Goodness of Jehovah. Let's notice in the first place the goodness of Jehovah. In the second place, let's consider the command to taste and see. And then in the third place, let's see this morning the resulting blessedness. Taste and see the goodness of Jehovah. The goodness of Jehovah, the command to taste and see, and the resulting blessedness. The titles of the Psalms are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, when we read a title above a psalm, we should consider them to be accurate descriptions concerning what they say. Accurate with respect to the author, or rather the human writer of the psalm, and accurate as well if they set forth the circumstance in which the psalm was written. Psalm 34 is an example of a psalm that sets before us in the title those two pieces of information. I'm not sure if the Bibles in the pews have the titles underneath the heading of the psalm. My Bible does, and this is what the heading of Psalm 34 is. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I'll read that again. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. That title of Psalm 34 indicates that David is the human writer, but it also indicates the context in which Psalm 34 was written. And that leads us in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21 records the history of the time when David was on the run from Saul. And so on the one hand, he had Saul seeking to take his life. And while he was on the run, David had a very difficult decision to make. What is he to do? How is he going to save his life? And while he's on the run from Saul, he goes to extreme measures in order to save his life. And that's what Psalm 34 in the title is referring to. Because not only on one hand was his enemy Saul, which was attempting to take his life, but on the other hand, he had the enemy of the Philistines, so that he could not go simply to the surrounding area of the Philistines and enter into those Philistine cities as though everything was going to be okay. And so he went to extreme measures. And that's what the title is referring to. And it is recorded for us in verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'll read verse 12 first. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Achish is the name of the Philistine king, the same as Abimelech, which is the title of that king referred to in Psalm 34. Then we read in verse 13 these words, and he changed his behavior before him. And he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. You remember that history in the life of David when he feigned himself to be a madman as an attempt to save his life as he found himself in the hands of the Philistines. That attempt on the part of David was successful. He did not lose his life at this time as he's fleeing from Saul and as he is before the Philistines. It's in that context that he writes Psalm 34. God, through that, delivered him. And I'm not going to go into detail concerning whether or not David was right or wrong in feigning himself to be a madman before the Philistines as an attempt to save his life. The fruit of that, David is led to see, is the work of God. And the grace of God and the mercy of God to deliver him from the hands of his enemies. And if the judgment is that David was sinful in doing that, that doesn't negate what God does for David. David is led to see, even if he walked in the ways of sin, that the Lord was gracious, the Lord was merciful, the Lord was at work to save and to deliver. God has done that many times throughout the history of his people. The selling of Joseph, for example, into slavery, God used even sin in such a way that in his sovereignty and wisdom, he was able to, through that, deliver and save his people. David is led to see, in the end, that his salvation at that particular time in his life was due to the work and grace of God. And so in that context, he writes Psalm 34, and he begins the psalm the way that he does, which is by expressing his praise to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord and what follows. And in that context as well, he writes the words under the Spirit's inspiration that we have in verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. As we consider the words of the text itself, we begin by looking at what it means that Jehovah is good. Lord in the text is in all capital letters, meaning that the name that is really referred to here is that of Jehovah. He makes the statement in the text clearly that Jehovah is good. Now, when we look at that truth of the goodness of Jehovah, there are two ways in which you are to look at and understand God's goodness. The first is by simply considering who God is in Himself. The being of God, as He stands alone as the triune God, not in relationship to that which He has created, and in His relationship to His people in Jesus Christ. You can look at God and say, God is good. He is the essence and the epitome of that which is good. And with respect to God, He is the only one that you can say that concerning. To compare and contrast this, for example, to what I said at the beginning of the sermon in the introduction, when we have a meal setting before us and we eat that meal and say, that tastes so good, the reason that we say that is so good is because that is in contrast and in comparison to other things that we have tasted, which may not be as good. But that's why we say that is good, because it is in contrast to everything else. You can't do that. You mustn't do that with respect to God. He's not good simply in contrast to others and other things, but He is the very essence of that which is good. Exodus chapter 32 and 33, or rather 33 and 34, help us understand what the goodness of Jehovah is. In Exodus chapter 33, we have the words of Moses in verse 19, where he's with God in the mount and he says this, or rather this is God's response to him after he says in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And then God responds in verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. So Moses says, show me thy glory. God responds, I'm going to make my goodness pass in front of thee. And then in verse 6 of chapter 34, God being faithful to this word, we read these words, "And the Lord passed by before him," so he's doing what he said he would do, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" That's the goodness of Jehovah that passed before him. And what God does here is he sets forth by word the attributes of God. God's goodness is the fullness of his being in all of his attributes. In God, there is no lie, no unrighteousness, no sin, no evil. God is the essence of that which is holy, righteous, pure, truth, and go on and on in the explanation of who God is. He is in his being the essence of goodness. That's one way to look at the idea of the goodness of Jehovah. The second way is more to the point of the text, and that is to look at the goodness of Jehovah in his relationship to his people. And that's the focus of Psalm 34. When you look at it broadly, the purpose of Psalm 34 is to exclaim God's work to save and to deliver his people. And in the text itself, it calls our attention to that. Because in the second part of the text, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." So in the text itself, it's calling attention to the relationship between Jehovah and his people. Oh, taste and see that Jehovah is good, not just in himself as who he is as God, but he is good in his relationship to his people in Jesus Christ. God is good to his people alone. God's goodness is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ and those whom he saves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Later in the psalm, it speaks of the Lord's eyes looking down upon the righteous, and it speaks of the face of the Lord being against the wicked. God is not good in any sense of the word to the wicked. His favor and his love and grace and mercy in Jesus Christ is not upon the wicked. It's upon the righteous. And the righteous are those alone who are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. I'd like to explain the goodness of Jehovah in his relationship to his people in three different ways, from three points of view, as we find them in the text and in the context of Psalm 34. In the first place, we can see the goodness of Jehovah in Jesus Christ as it is revealed in the text by his name itself. As I said earlier, the name is Lord there. The name is Jehovah. In that name itself, we have revealed for us that he is good to his people. Jehovah is the covenant name of God, the name that means I am. It is the name that expresses the truth that God says, "I am your God, and you in Christ are my people, and I dwell with you, and am in relationship with you through the work of my beloved Son, Christ." And we cannot help but pause and reflect upon that this morning in light of the sacrament of baptism. Because the truth of Jehovah is that he is the covenant God, not only of us as mature believers, but the promise throughout the Scriptures is that he is the covenant God of our children as well. And in that we see so very clearly the goodness of Jehovah, that he saves in Jesus Christ and is the God in Jesus Christ, not only to us as adults, but to our children as well. And what is interesting is that David has an eye on children. He says in verse 11, understanding that this is who God is, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He wants the children. And that can be looked at broadly with respect to the children of God, but more narrowly too, a concern for the actual children who are God's children because He is Jehovah, that they too learn the fear of Jehovah. So in the first place, we have set before us the goodness of Jehovah in the name Jehovah itself. In the second place, we can see the goodness of Jehovah in His relationship to His people from the context in which Psalm 34 is written. From this point of view, that God was good and that He was faithful to His promise to send Christ, the Christ who would come forth from the line of David. Remember the context. It's another example, and there are many of them, in the Psalms and in the life of David, when God was pleased to preserve the life of David. But when you look at that through the lens of the broadest possible perspective, something very clear comes into focus, and that is the promise of the coming Messiah. God from the very beginning made it clear that the scepter would not depart from Judah. God made it clear that from the line of David, Jesus would come forth. So that David not only stands as a type of Christ Himself, but David stands in the line of Christ so that from Him and His lineage, the Messiah would come. So that when God was faithful in the preservation of David's life, it was an eye on Christ. And with an eye upon those who are in Christ, which is His elect body, you and me, sitting here this morning as members of God's church. God was faithful in the deliverance of David so that from David, Christ would come to the salvation of His elect body. And then in the third place, we see very clearly in Psalm 34 the goodness of Jehovah in His love and grace and mercy as He saves personally His servant and His child, David. You can see that deliverance and salvation from two perspectives in the psalm. One of them is typical, where David is delivered from the enemies that seek his life. Typical for us, as we learn from that, the deliverance from our spiritual enemies. We took note of that last week in the sermon on Psalm 27. But at the end of the psalm, David makes clear that it's more than that. It's also clearly in the psalm speaking of the salvation of his soul, the deliverance from sin and death, the redemption that God performs to His son David. The entire psalm, really, is the evidence of Jehovah's work to save and to deliver David through the one who would come, Jesus Christ. Notice that as you go through the psalm very carefully and slowly, verse 4, all of these are the evidences of God's goodness to him, His grace and mercy. Jehovah saw and heard him, verse 4. Jehovah delivered him from fears, verse 4. Jehovah saved from troubles, verse 6, 17, and 19. Jehovah sent His angels to surround and deliver him, verses 9 and 10. Jehovah is close to those who are of a broken heart, verse 18. Jehovah saves those of a contrite heart, verse 18. Jehovah redeems the soul of His servant, verse 22. The whole psalm and all of God's work for David and those to whom he is writing is the evidence of the goodness of Jehovah. And all of those blessings are rooted in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jehovah, beloved, truly is good. Good in Himself and good in His love and grace and mercy to us. In light of that truth, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives the command And it is that. It is a command to taste and to see that the Lord is good. We need to do something, David says. This doesn't change whether or not Jehovah is good. He's always good. He is good. He's not, he was good. It's not, he will be good, but he is good. He is eternally good in himself and in his relationship to his people. But in light of that, David says, this is what we are called to do. Taste and see that Jehovah is good. We need to, in other words, know and appropriate for ourselves and believe that Jehovah is good. The necessity of hearing this as a command is the fact that in our life, especially when we go through the struggles and the afflictions of this life, we are tempted to not see, we are tempted to doubt, and at times even we are tempted to deny the truth of what David says here, that Jehovah is good. And we all know that at times in our lives, to one degree or another, that is always at the doorstep, that's always a temptation that the devil sets before us. In a way that we are tempted to walk in, that as we go through the fires and the waters of this life, as we look around us at our experiences and what we are going through, we put blinders on, or we shut our mouth so that we don't taste and we don't see. And by doing that, we lose sight of, or we doubt, or we deny Jehovah's goodness. David says in this text, don't do that. Instead, do this. All your life long, every day of your life, taste and see that Jehovah is good. David uses figures of speech here to explain what we are to do spiritually in light of the truth of Jehovah's goodness. These must be figures of speech, especially when you consider the first one, that of tasting. In no way are we to taste food literally and through that have the experience of Jehovah's goodness. Obviously, that is not what David is saying in the text. We are to taste spiritually and we are to see spiritually that Jehovah is good. Let's begin with the idea of tasting. What David says here to do, based on this text and the whole of the Scriptures, is to read and consume the Word of God, as that Word reveals to us that Jehovah is good. The first passage that we go to in connection with this part of the text is 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 2, rather, verses 2 and 3, where in verse 3, although not a direct quote, the apostle refers to the passage that we are considering right now. He says in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Desire the Word of God, the Word as we read it in the Scriptures, the Word as we hear it in the preaching of the Gospel. And the implication there is to consume that Word of God. And in consuming the Word of God, we taste that the Lord is good. It's not the only passage that speaks of this similar idea. I'll read three other passages in this connection. The first is Psalm 19, verse 10, referring to the law of God, more generally to the Word of God. We read in Psalm 19, verse 10, More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It's sweet because we eat spiritually the Word of God. Another example is Psalm 119, the other outstanding psalm that speaks of God's law. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then just one more is found in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. All of those passages and many others beside refer to this spiritual activity of eating the Word of God. When we eat the Word of God, we are tasting that Jehovah is good. And beloved, that makes complete sense. Where do we go to have revealed to us the goodness of Jehovah? We don't go to any other book. We don't go to any other thing but God's Word, because God's Word sets before us, in its essence, Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father for us in Jesus Christ. When we read and consume the Word of God, we are tasting the goodness of Jehovah. And then he says, see that Jehovah is good. Now I understand that can be taken in a literal sense, unlike the first one, which is taste. And there's an aspect in which we need to do that in our lives. We need to see with our actual physical eyes the goodness of Jehovah. And the fact is, we can see it all around us. Here we are in the house of God, and we can see with our physical eyes God is good. We see it as we witness the sacrament of baptism. We see it in our lives when we have on display the evidence of God's work in the hearts and the lives of His people. It's not seen in the physical gifts. It's seen in His work in and through people. So that in the trials of this life, when we witness with our physical eyes the attitude and the life of peace and contentment, when we witness with our physical eyes one who at the end of their life is at peace in the face of death, we are seeing that Jehovah is good. That's a part of what we are able to do in our lives as God's children. But the idea here, I believe, is also figurative. Taste is figurative, and see is as well. And we see Jehovah's goodness in the same way that we taste of His goodness. We see His goodness with the eyes of faith as we read and believe the Word of God. I referred to Exodus 33 and 34 earlier in the sermon to speak of God's goodness. That's a passage that's also helpful with respect to the idea of seeing. Moses said to God, "Show me thy glory." And the way in which Moses saw God's glory and goodness was not with his physical eyes. The way that he saw God's goodness and glory was by hearing and believing that Jehovah is the God of grace and mercy and long-suffering. It was by hearing the Word that was spoken. We see the goodness of Jehovah when we read and see with our eyes of faith the truth of who God is. The emphasis in these ideas of tasting and seeing is that we are to read the Word of God and to read it in such a way that we apply it to our own lives and we believe it personally. That's the thing with tasting. Tasting is not something that happens at a distance. No, we take that food and we put it into our mouth and we experience the goodness of that food and what it tastes. We don't hold the goodness of Jehovah at arm's length in our lives, but God says, taste it. Consume the Word of God. Appropriate it for yourselves and believe it. Seeing in Scripture always has the idea of believing. Those who are blind don't see God. They don't believe in God. Although they could read the Word, they could read explanations of the Word, they could sit in church and hear a sermon preached about God, but they're blind. But those who see God's goodness are those who believe it and believe it for themselves personally. Beloved, the application here is very clear. Especially in the midst of affliction, consume the Word of God and believe that Word of God for you personally as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we go through the afflictions of which David speaks in Psalm 34, and we do because many are the afflictions of the righteous, the devil tempts us to put blinders on our eyes and to put something in front of our mouths or to tie our mouths shut. And the way that he does that is by taking the Bibles that we own and trying to cause us to close them. And when we come here into the house of God to put earmuffs over our ears or earplugs in our ears so that we don't hear and believe. In our afflictions, in the darkest moments, we need to taste and see that Jehovah is good, which means we need to consume the truth of God revealed in the Scriptures, which is to say, we need to consume the essence of what is set forth in these words, that God loves us and saves us and delivers us in Jesus Christ, and believe those words by faith as those who belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Taste, beloved, and see that Jehovah is good. The second part of the text says this: blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. That word trust in the text is a very graphic word. It helps us understand what it means to put our trust when we see the figure that is embedded in the word. It's the idea of seeking shelter or seeking refuge, a prominent theme found in the Psalms and in the Scriptures. That figure to us is clear from our earthly experiences when there is a massive storm outside and the wind is howling and the rain is falling and the thunder and lightning are on display and can be heard. We need to seek refuge. We seek shelter. We flee to something in order to be safe from that storm. Trust in the passage is that idea of seeking refuge in the storms of our lives. The one who trusts in Jehovah is the one who seeks safety in the shadow of the wings of Jehovah, who seeks safety in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the storms of life, and that one from which we need shelter, is first of all our sin and guilt. And in the cross alone there is deliverance, but also in the trials and afflictions of this life, when we are in the shadow of the cross, in the safety of the cross, we know that our Lord and Savior reigns and rules over all the circumstances of my life, and the enemies cannot touch me, and He uses all of them to work our salvation. The one who trusts in the Lord, as it says in the text, finds safety and shelter in Jehovah and Christ. Now, when you read the first part of the text and the second part of the text, it may seem as though there is not a connection. What does tasting and seeing that the Lord is good have to do with blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord? I believe there is a connection, and that the connection in part is this, that the activity of tasting and seeing Jehovah's goodness is the very activity of trusting in Jehovah. And therefore, the one who tastes and sees by that trust, and the one who trusts, as the text says, is blessed. That's what we're doing when we're tasting and seeing Jehovah's goodness. Especially in the midst of the storms of this life, when we need to find shelter and safety somewhere. When in the midst of those storms of this life, we taste and see Jehovah is good. Very practically, in the storms of this life, when we go to the Word of God and we consume that Word and we believe that Word, and when we sit in the house of God and when we hear the gospel preached and through that consume the truth and believe that truth, that is, when we taste and see in the midst of the storms of this life, by that very act, we are saying, I'm not fleeing somewhere else to find safety in the storms of this life. I am fleeing to Jehovah. I am fleeing to Jesus Christ because He is good. He is the essence of that which is good. And He is good to me to deliver me from my sin and guilt and enemies and to take all of the afflictions that I am experiencing and turn them for my profit and my salvation. And so in the midst of those fires and waters, we obey this command by the Spirit working in us. We taste and see His goodness. And through that, we are showing that we are trusting and seeking refuge in Jehovah. Such a man is blessed. Such a man or woman or child experience the essence of what a blessing is. He's happy. He's joyful. And he is such because he knows that he is in covenant, eternal relationship with the God of all things in Jesus Christ. What is the essence of that blessedness? We can turn to verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Speaking to what is the desire of man. This is the blessedness. He has life. He has many days. He sees good. He has the essence of life, which is not life here below, but is life with our God in Jesus Christ. He has many days. The essence of many days, which is eternity, for that is what we have coming for us with that life in Jesus Christ. And he sees good. He tastes and sees it now by faith. He will see it one day in eternity in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessedness of one who trusts in the Lord is the experience now and the experience forever that Jehovah is good. Good to him now in Jesus Christ. Good forever in glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Beloved, Jehovah is good. He is good to us in Christ. Taste that goodness. See that goodness every day. And know that in trusting in Him, there is eternal blessing. Amen. Our Father,